They played a good style of football. They played a good football game. I think I have to do a better job at just putting our guys in better positions. I think it's always going to be about us and being able to adjust. And I think it's one of those games that I don't think we had a bad plan. The game was called bad. And I have issues saying that, but I'm full of accountability. Like, I want our guys to know, like, I'm in this with them, and I got to do a better job and hold to a standard, right? I think it was more us and me than it was them.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Bills back to work this week. It'll be the Houston Texans Sunday, 1 o'clock in Houston. Looks like the Texans will have Tank Dell back. We'll find out this week what the Bills' story is on Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, and see how things look for those two as they get closer to a return. Jeremy and Joe, happy Tuesday. Looks like a nice day out there today. We are asking you to give us a thought, and we'll give you ours too on this. From the Baltimore game, what's real and what's not a big deal? A 35-10 blowout, something that does not happen to the Bills a lot. What's real and what's no big deal? Wide open phone lines for you, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
Can I throw another under-the-radar thing that you wouldn't think about a lot for this game that I think is real? I think the thought that the Bills were going to be one of these run-heavy teams in the league is almost completely dead for me now. Like, here's another game where they went out in the first quarter throwing the ball, and again, they took another step forward in neutral pass rate. They're now fifth highest in the league. They have less snaps in that because even in this game, they don't have, I mean, half their games 3 weeks in a row are over by halftime. Not over by halftime, but are, like, you know, outside of this context. But again, here are the Bills, like, throwing the ball more than other teams in the league. And more than the other good teams in the league. Like, the teams above them are like Cleveland and the Rams.
McDermott did have a comment yesterday that made me think he thinks that's getting away from them.
That they want to run the ball more than that?
Yes.
That they got away from running it too much? I mean, I don't mind that. Like, they did stop running the ball pretty early on in this game, didn't they?
Well, they were down 21-3 at halftime. Although,
even before that,
pretty much right up until the trick play, they were running the ball in the second half, too. They were handing it to Cook.
They did start doing that. Yep. I don't think they're going to be near the top of the league in run rate.
So they won't be a run-heavy team?
I don't think they're a run-heavy team. I just don't think you can. I don't think you can be when Allen's your quarterback. Maybe you can, because if you look at teams like the Chiefs are way down there right now. The Ravens are always way down there. The Chiefs maybe are the one team to look at. Like, you can run the ball more, but the Bills are, so far, like, they ran it a lot in Arizona, and that's kind of it. Otherwise, like, the last three games to me, like, early on, they're, especially the last two, they're coming out trying to throw the ball on you, and it's worked once. Didn't work this last week.
So you think run rate not a big deal? You're confident they'll be a pass team?
Yes.
All right, that's fair. What's one thing that's real? The conversation about receiver is already back.
I think it's
already back. And
yeah, it was only going to take one game like this.
That's probably right. And I fully expected a game or two like this, some games like this, where a team that has the chops defensively is not going to be afraid of anybody you've got. And you had some bright spots from Coleman, and other than that, you didn't have a whole lot going on. Shakir got loose behind the defense. Shakir got banged up too. Joe, the idea of trading for Amari Cooper, I don't think the Bills have really, I don't know, like, maybe I don't know how to read this one yet. It's early in the season. I bet the Bills are not surprised by that kind of game from this group of receivers. This is, like, let's track what happened. They brought in a bunch of guys to try and have some competition, and not one surprise came out of it. No one rose up and, look at this guy. We've got a new player who looks like he could be a spark plug. I mean, maybe that's KJ Hamler, who he's not on the team. Maybe he should be instead of MVS. MVS is here. Nothing. Zero. Non-factor.
Yeah.
Mac Hollins.
Empty calories.
Mac Hollins. Empty calories. Like, there's not a lot going on there. You've got Shakir. Coleman has flashed some nice bright spots. I bet they're encouraged by that. I don't think that the Bills are going to be all that motivated to add a Amari Cooper or you name it. I think that they know what they've got. You know, it's funny because a lot of the offseason was a lot of selling this idea that this is their ideal group and they don't want to have a big money guy. They don't want to have somebody that commands attention, which to me is not really believable. But you had a good point yesterday, I thought, when talking about the Patriots and the Brady years.
Mm-hmm.
That Julian Edelman made this point about how when Welker left, Brady recalibrated and started throwing to the open receiver. And I thought you had a good point, which was, that's right, he did that. And then he found who that was going to be all the time and then threw it to that guy all the time.
Right.
That was Edelman. Edelman had 150 targets all the time.
Yep.
And then Gronk showed up, and what'd they do? They threw the ball to Gronk all the time. 100 targets to Gronk, 140 targets to Randy Moss when he's on the team.
Yeah.
That what this process probably is a feeling out process for Allen, and as soon as he decides, this is the player I can go to, like it's Kincaid and it's Shakir, and that's about it. Because in the everybody eats world, right now, Curtis Samuel does not. Maybe he's not used in the right way. Dawson Knox definitely does not.
No, he's not involved at all.
MVS, like Hollins gets these targets, and Hollins and Allen are not on the same page. So I don't.
That's the one that's interesting to me, because it seems like he wants to throw the ball to Mac Hollins. Yeah. It's just not working. He's not even looking at MVS, right? They're not even designing things for Curtis Samuel. He's not even playing receiver. He's playing running back on a bunch of these snaps. Hollins is the one that might be different, because it feels like the way Allen also has talked about him. I go all the way back to training camp when they were asking about the receivers, and the first name he would always say is Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
And then he's in, here we go, in a game, prime time, they're throwing the ball, and he got targeted 6 times. I feel like Allen wants to throw the ball to Mac Hollins. But man, I don't know. How long will he do that if it's just not going to work? That's the thing, right? He's not going to do that all season if he's going to catch one of every 5 passes.
He's kind of got the new Gabe role, where it's not going to be efficient, but they're hoping it's going to hit every once in a while. The thing is, with Gabe, that did hit.
You had some big plays.
You had lots of hits.
Yeah.
With Hollins, you really don't have anything yet. We're 4 games into the season. I don't think they're surprised at all by what they've got in the receiver group. They're taking still like a $31 million cap to not have Diggs on the team. The decision to get rid of Diggs costs you more than Mac Hollins' salary. And I just mean the difference between Diggs being on the team and off the team. Mm. It took an additional, $3, $4 million hit. They've got 2 starting receivers that don't make that much money combined, right? Isn't Hollins and MVS are both under $4 million combined? So I don't think they're surprised. Brandon Bean's no fool. You get what you pay for. You have a year where things are kind of lean, and you try to make some cagey signings and think you got a low floor out of Hollins and maybe some explosive plays here and there. I don't think the Bills are surprised at all by this. I'm not.
Are they surprised that their 3-year, $24 million receiver, though, is a non-factor?
Unless the injury to his ankle is a bigger deal than any of us know.
Maybe. Because that would be the one guy you look at his numbers with Joe Brady. You look at even his numbers anywhere. He has not been a star. And his year with Brady, by the way, is his highest season. Over 1,000 yards of total production is his highest in a year. Take that out, even. Take out the year he had over 1,000 yards with Joe Brady. And what do you have in Curtis Samuel? You have a guy that, when he plays a full season, he's going to get you between 600 and 800 yards. That's generally what he does, which is like, what, a fine number 2, maybe a pretty good number 3.
That's, 800 yards is what Gabe Davis did for a lot of his career.
Yeah, he's on pace. What's he on pace for right now? 180 yards on the season. I'm not saying he's a world beater. I'm not saying he's a superstar. I know I did bet him to lead the league in receiving yards, by the way.
Okay, we might want to dip back into that for a minute.
It's like a dollar for like 500, but whatever. Come on. Even if he's not a world beater, he's not a Diggs replacement.
They were
not expecting less than 200 yards for a guy they paid $8 million a year to.
No, that's right. They were expecting a role player, and right now he's not really played any.
There is no role. What's the role?
It's not just him. It's MVS. It's Hollins. All these guys are supposed to play roles where the offense can't be predicted, and yet one thing that was predictable was that these guys would probably be limited in what they can give you. And when you face a defense, I don't know how good the Ravens defense is as compared to the Chiefs, which is really good. And, you have your fair share of good defenses. Baltimore is supposed to be one I could get explosive plays against. And the Bills couldn't.
Coming into the week, it looked like that was a gettable secondary.
And this week, it's Houston. It's kind of the same thing. You're supposed to be able to go down the field against Houston. And right now, it does not look like the Bills have much of a downfield passing game. Of course, that could change. 803-0550. We'll get some calls in here as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. West of New York's number one Kia dealer. What's no big deal and what's real from the Baltimore game? Dennis in Williamsville is up. Hey, Dennis, good morning.
Hey, guys. So I think a few things stand out to me as being real. I think, number one, on the defensive side, it's just simply, you know, we're just low on bodies and low on guys. We just got to get our starters back. I think that was pretty evident. I mean, it was a nice little fun little ride there. And I'm not saying it's over with those guys, but it's really hard, you know, to plug and play almost half of your defense. So I think that's part of it, and that's an obvious thing. But I think on the side of the ball, I did like Joe Brady. I still do. I think that there's a lot there to like. But I think the utilization of these guys, like we were talking about Curtis Samuel, you know, I mean, everything he does is lateral. I mean, his average depth of target has to be under 3 yards on the season after so many games, after four games. And, you know, Keon Coleman's route tree is a telephone pole. I mean, we got to do something else there. I mean, he can't just line up outside the numbers and run straight and do back shoulder throws all the time. So, I mean, it just looks like we're a little bit, I mean, if you're scouting our team, you're almost being able to look at what each individual guy does and be able to realize what you can take away. That we just have to get a little bit more diversified in what each player individually can do. We can't just keep doing the same thing all the time with all the same guys. So I think that's real. After four games, it looks like Curtis Samuel runs sideways, Keon Coleman runs up and down, and you know our tight end and Shakir run somewhere around 8 to 12 yards, and that's our offense. Yeah. So that's got to change in order for us to progress.
You know, Dennis, as you mentioned this, I'm thinking back to training camp. There's one kind of pass that happened at training camp. I feel like I saw it a lot, Joe. Maybe you can let me know if I'm remembering correctly. There were vertical throws up the sidelines to tight ends at training camp a lot.
Yeah.
Like they got the ball to Kincaid up the sideline.
Yep.
And Knox, too. And has there been a throw like that? Or four games in?
Kincaid had one last week where he's like crossing the field.
Yeah.
But when he's kind of going up vertically, not that I can remember.
Average depth of target for Khalil,
for Samuel?
For Samuel is 3.7.
I'm looking at his. Are you looking at his career for that?
Yeah, the last 2 years in Washington, it was 6.7 and 6.6.
Look at what it was with Joe Brady in 2019.
In Carolina, it was 11.9 and 14.6.
That's the number. That's the year Brady's the coordinator all year in Carolina. 14.6.
Down the field to Curtis Samuel. Like, he's a guy that can do that. And they're using him 3 yards from the line of scrimmage.
All right, I'm willing to say it's got to be the injury. There's no way it's this different. Wouldn't they not have signed him with a plan that Brady would have been instrumental in that? Like, I've had this guy. He had 1,000 yards with me. I threw the ball to him 97 times with Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, and it worked. I've got a plan for him. I know how to use him. And then he's here, and it is completely different. It's not completely different in how he's lining up, but that right there, he's only getting the ball at the line of scrimmage and horizontally. And the last time he had this player, that is not how he used him. He was using him down the field. He was using him as a wide receiver. It has to be the injury. It has to be, right?
Or, I mean, sure, it could be a million things. Like, a lot of times we're left to speculate what the Bills want. They tell us some things. They keep things inside. How much of this offense do you think is designed to limit turnovers? Just that. How much of this offense do you think is designed? Because what got Dorsey fired and what did Brady do? He cut down on the turnovers. Sometimes it's not the coordinator's fault. Sometimes it's a fumble.
Right.
But Allen winging the ball down the field and getting picked off three times against the Jets. Like McDermott, does he care about interceptions as much as everybody else? Does he care about the interceptions more than me, more than you, as much as the 11 players that called Josh Allen overrated? Does McDermott care about the interceptions? Because what you've got with this offense is short throws and lateral throws and back shoulders to Keon Coleman. These are low-risk throws. Allen is not really putting the ball in harm's way. It's not in trouble anyway. He doesn't have a pick. We're four games in.
Doesn't
affect. Has he had a four-game stretch without an interception in his career until right now?
I might want to bet against that.
He's got four straight games, right? No picks.
Yeah. And how many do you have at the end of last year with Brady? Not many, right?
Not many. I wonder where, if you know, you're looking at Joe Brady's goals on a chalkboard. Like, all right, guys, first offensive meeting of the year. First thing we're going to do, number one, is number one, not turn it over. Because from a passing standpoint, they have a very safe passing game. 803-0550. Something I thought about is whether or not they could. Is it designed to lower his turnovers?
He has not had a stretch of four games. He has one other stretch in his career with where he's gone this long without throwing a pick. Weeks 7 through 11 of the 2019 season. He went 5 games in a row without throwing a pick. That's the only other one, though.
Did they go like 5-0 in that stretch?
They went 3-2.
3-2.
Which, again, is like turnovers are overrated.
For sure.
3-2. Mahomes, they're talking about how he can't stop turning the ball over and what's the record.
4-0. Well, defense is still pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
But whatever. I mean, I wonder if that is a, you know, you always want to limit your turnovers, of course. How much of the offense is designed to specifically do that? Because these passing plays, I mean, Allen's been very protective of the ball. Johnny in Buffalo, next up. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I think our receiver core is fine. Keon Coleman, he's a rookie. He's going to take, and he wasn't a rookie who was supposed to make splashes instantly. He's made a couple good plays, but he's still grown into this offense. Curtis Samuel, I think he's got to still be dealing with that injury, and he's also grown into the offense. I think at the end of the year, as the season progresses, we're going to see less Mac Hollins on the field. I think that as the season progresses, you're going to see more Keon Coleman. He's got to learn to be a better blocker. He's got to learn to do the things that Mac Hollins does because Sean McVay loves that stuff. And everybody loves a blocking wide receiver. But you'll see Shakir, Samuel, Coleman, and Kincaid. That's going to be your personnel if you don't have the two tight ends. And I'm thinking those guys are going to grow into this offense. Look, we're 3-1. Which is still pretty darn good. And if we went 3-1 the rest of the way, we're 13-4. For the most part, that last stretch of 5 games or whatever. But I think where I do get worried is if a guy goes down with an injury. You know, if Shakir went down for a 4 or 5 week span, who's stepping up in Shakir's absence? Or if, you know, Kincaid goes down with an injury, who's stepping up? Because Dawson Knox certainly hasn't gotten any targets. This is where I think we do need to add somebody. Hopefully, I know we're kind of in that cap hell situation right now, but like you said, Amari Cooper costs nothing. Who knows what they would want for him or he's even tradable, but a guy like that who is a veteran who can create his own space and can get open and I think would be amazing for Josh to have. I mean, it's a wish list type item, but listen, I think we need to add another piece of depth because Mac Hollins on the field all the time isn't what I envisioned with this offense. But again, not too worried, just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Johnny. On the receivers, yeah, I don't think they're fine, but I do think there's what you're talking about is the potential that they'll get better. And with Coleman, of course, like we're at the ground floor on Keon Coleman. They're probably giving him limited snaps and limited responsibilities. And he got benched for a quarter in one game because he missed a meeting, was late to a meeting.
Yep.
Like, whatever. He's learning to be a pro. Coleman is kind of like off the table for me here on not quite off the table on evaluation. We yesterday went through all the rookie receivers, and a lot of them are in and producing pretty much right away. Worthy is producing in his role. Brian Thomas Jr. looks fantastic for Jacksonville.
I will say on Coleman, though, like, the 3 games he didn't get benched, can I take, not take out Jacksonville, but can I kind of just throw it to the side for a second here? Because he just didn't play in the first quarter and even in the second because he was late, right? The other 3 games, his snap count, 73%, 91%, 73%.
Right, so he's on the field.
He is on the field. And his numbers aren't bad. Like, his numbers, I mean, there are rookies that are doing better, no doubt. But 126 yards and a touchdown, again, in one of those games. He wasn't on the field at the start, and he had a touchdown in that game. I mean, he's got 51 yards in 2 of the 4 games.
No, I don't think he's that far off of expectation at all, if he even is.
Like, that's not a disaster right now. Like, no. To me, that's the only place where I would... Well, no, I can't say that. I think if Samuel were to get healthier or just to be more involved, that's another element in their receiver room where you could have growth, where you would think, hey, what can I get more around Shakir? Like, to me, it would be those two things. It would be Coleman continues to progress as a rookie, and secondary, they start using Curtis Samuel and or he gets healthier from the toe.
Two names we mentioned in this segment. I'll get you Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack talking about this. You want to trade for Amari Cooper?
Yeah.
At the deadline, the cap hit?
For the team acquiring him?
$605,000.
Oh, man, he really is free.
He's free.
I thought it was at least going to be like a few million.
Nope. Basically free. Extremely affordable trade candidate, Amari Cooper, if the Browns indeed decide to do that.
That means he's going to go for a higher pick then.
Right. The other part of this, DeAndre Hopkins, which I don't think the Bills need what DeAndre Hopkins does.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's also playing through a partially torn MCL. So, like, I would be afraid of that.
The cap hit to acquire DeAndre Hopkins at the deadline is $6.5 million. The Bills don't have that room.
I'm out on that.
So Hopkins totally not happening. I
looked up Thielen, by the way. It would be like $7 million.
Yeah.
Like, that's not happening.
As we talk about wide receiver trades, you know, as the wide receiver train captain, whatever, I'm just content's the wrong word. I think the Bills are ready to ride this, see where it goes, see what they have in, Coleman's on the team for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel's on the team for a 3-year contract. That's at least 2 years. They will probably extend Shakir. And then the next receiver is what? That's the MVS bucket with Mac Hollins.
Mm.
That's going to be the next piece they add to this offense, and I don't think they're in a rush to do it. I don't think they're going to feel like they have to panic. They're 3-1. Their defense had been playing great. So,
to me, to get an Amari Cooper, it would have to be a point in the season where they feel like those three, at least one of them, if not probably Coleman, would have to be the one, and so far this has not really happened, would have to be falling well short of expectation. Like 2 years ago, when they bring in Cole Beasley at around the trade deadline, late in the year, what was part of the reason they did that? Because they had a rookie Khalil Shakir on the field as a fifth-round rookie.
And Allen didn't throw to him.
And Allen wasn't throwing to him, and Allen wanted somebody he felt like he could trust out there instead. And that's fine. Shakir got to his point eventually, but there was a time where they thought they needed Beasley. And to me, that would have to happen with like Coleman, where they get around deadline time, and Coleman, it's just not happening. And Allen goes, I need a veteran. I need someone that's more dangerous. I need somebody that I could trust more for this playoff run. And so far, to me, again, I don't think Coleman is playing poorly enough for them to think we need that.
No, I think they're probably encouraged by what they're seeing to this point. 803-0550. All right. Trade winds blowing around the NFL. Like the Chiefs are going to need a receiver. We're talking about what's real and what's no big deal from the Baltimore game. Give us a ring. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.